faith has to be in Jesus. You have to turn from your sins. If you're not willing to repent, you'll perish. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Notice, you have to repent so that you won't perish. God doesn't want you to be damned to hell, but you will be condemned to hell unless you turn from your sin. And to be destroyed or to be lost doesn't mean that you'll be annihilated. That's very important. I'd like to share another scripture, if I could, before we go to another caller. This is in Revelation 14, 9 through 12. Listen to this stirring passage on the wrath of God. Revelation 14, 9 through 12, a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength in the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Notice that. Anybody could end up in the torment of burning sulfur, according to this passage. If you're saved now or if you were never saved, if you take the mark of the beast, you'll be lost. So who knows how much longer? Who knows how many more generations? Who knows if it's another 500 more years or maybe just another 100 years or 20 years before the mark of the beast might be issued? But folks, we've got to make sure we walk faithful with the Lord and never take that mark. Amen.
Amen. Dan, someone said that they were reading the Left Behind books. I have no real knowledge of this. But in one of the books it said that it's okay to take the mark of the beast if you're saved. And God understands, and he doesn't hold it against you. And if that is in one of those books and somebody knows about it, I'd like to know the name of which one it's in. But that is not true, correct, Dan?
Well, let me say this. A particular woman sent a book. She contacted our ministry and said that Tim LaHaye said that and even sent the book down here where we're supposed to be. I looked over the pages, and unfortunately, I could not see there. Or maybe I should say fortunately, I did not see the accusation that she made against Tim LaHaye. But you see, since Tim LaHaye and so many others believe in eternal security and a pre-trib rapture, it doesn't really make any difference if you take the mark of the beast. What's the big deal? Because according to them, once you're saved, you're always saved. No sin will ever separate you from God. No sin could ever drag you to hell, but that's not what the Bible teaches. So there's all kind of deception. People are off their guard. And in regards to this pre-trib rapture thing, people are thinking, well, before nuclear war or any other kind of problem, any other kind of great distress and calamity would break loose in this country, God will zap me out of here. I'll meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever. Well, folks, are you prepared to suffer and die for your faith?
Amen.
Are you prepared to go to your grave because you're going to confess Jesus and not bow before an image? You're going to live holy and upright in this adulterous and wicked generation. Because if you're not, there's no sense you thinking you're going to enter the kingdom of God. There's something wrong with your heart now. You need to get committed to Jesus. If you knew God at one time and something came in, folks, you neglected so great a salvation, you need to repent. Come back to God. Get cleaned up again. The blood of Jesus will wash you and cleanse you from all iniquity. You need to repent. Don't let those sins drag you to hell. The devil's ever so subtle and clever. I've seen many people fall away from God. I come to the Lord over 25 years ago, and I'm telling you, many people I've seen that I knew, that I labored with, preaching the gospel, spreading the message out on the street, people fell away from God. And it can happen to anybody, folks. You need to walk guarded, carefully. If you live according to sinful nature, you'll die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live according to Romans 8:13.
We're to keep ourselves in the love of God, aren't we, brother? We got a call here from James. James, you have a question or comment for Brother Dan?
Well, it's kind of a combination of the two. First of all, I would just like to say, how did we get to this point where, I just run into literally, everybody I talk to, it doesn't matter where I go, what background they're from. If when I mention what you're talking about, the way you bring it, the way I say it, I talk about the wrath of God, and people look in hell, and people look at me like I've got 10,000 heads. Okay, well, how did we get to this point, and how can I say it as clearly as you do? Is there something on paper I can get so that I can witness much better than I do? It just seems like you run into so many people who just don't get it, and we're in a sad state of affairs that we're in. It's so scary that so many people are just so lost.
James, I'm going to let Dan answer you, and I'll tell you right now, he does have the material you need. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, well, first of all, I'd like to say the reason it's so bad is because all we've been hearing, for the most part, is the love and the mercy of God, and not that God is a righteous, just God with vengeance, an avenging God that has wrath and anger on the sinful and the wicked. We don't hear that other side of the coin regarding God and his attributes. We have an article on our website, Yahweh, the Killer God. If you read through the Bible, you'll see that Almighty God has killed multitudes of people. We had a person email us one time, an atheist, and he said to us, he says, well, don't you know that religion has killed more people than all the wars in the world? I wrote him back and said, well, God has killed more, he has slain personally, more people than all the religions of the world. You read the Bible and you'll see that Yahweh, the killer God, has slain people in his anger and his wrath, and we're not hearing any of this about God. And then the caller wanted to know, how could he present this message clearly? Well, we have a very important salvation tract, and this salvation tract on one side gives details about salvation in heaven, and on the reverse side, it gives details about hell. Some of the things that I shared here, and folks, besides that, we have a very important book on salvation, refuting especially the teaching of eternal security, but the whole book is on salvation and safeguards for your soul. This is very serious. This is the most serious thing you could ever get involved in. You came to Jesus, you didn't realize what was before you. The kind of war, the battle. You see, the devil is not in hell yet. The devil has souls on his mind, but he's trying to devour and damn souls. He wants to lead people astray. And he'll do every dirty thing he can, every vile and malicious and hurtful thing that he can. He's in the soul business. The devil is religious. Folks, you are in a battle for your soul and the souls of your loved ones. Live holy, speak the truth in love, pray, and share this message. Folks, it's a life message, a lifeline, because people aren't hearing the truth. We're living in such a dark, apostate day, it's hard to find a sound church anywhere or a ministry that's not in some way, shape, or form compromising with this world system. And what's the cost? Precious souls. Precious souls are deceived. They're looking for help, and they don't know where to turn. Nobody's preaching the word anymore. Nobody's sharing the message of the Bible. They're all caught up with the things of this world and the cares of this life. They're not living for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just like Jesus said, many will turn away. Mm-hmm. And it's happening right before our very eyes.
Brother, before you ask Dan another question, I wanted to share one scripture with you to show you what he said is true. Those who seem to be getting away with ungodliness will one day face the consequences. In 2 Peter 2, it says, for God did not spare even the angels when they sinned. He threw them into hell in gloomy caves and darkness until the judgment day. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and his family of seven. All those were destroyed in that flood, right, Brother Dan?
That's exactly right. Destroyed but not annihilated.
Amen.
What do you think about that?
Amen. James, anything else?
What was the name of that book?
Name of the book, Dan.
The name of the book that we have over here in our ministry that refutes the teaching of eternal security is The Believer's Conditional Security. The Believer's Conditional Security. It's an 801-page book. In fact, why don't you listen to this? You and the other people out there, just take about 1 minute.
Don't go to hell by believing a false gospel and counterfeit grace message. Order a copy of our 800-page book, The Believer's Conditional Security, which contains 25 chapters, over 700 footnotes, hundreds of Bible references, more than 195 reference sources, 13 appendixes, scripture and subject indexes, and a bibliography. Learn little-known historical facts about the Reformation period. Read contradictions between the big-name eternal security teachers and the biblical refutation of 110 eternal security arguments. Find out how to safeguard your family from the devil's masterpiece, false doctrine. The Believer's Conditional Security is the most exhaustive refutation to once saved, always saved that has ever been written. Get your copy today for only $19.50 postage paid by sending your check or money order to Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. That's $19.50 to Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. Or order online from www.evangelicaloutreach.org.
Amen.
There you go, James. And Brother Dan is so good with his material. We've ordered several things from him. And he says if we want to copy it, we can give it to our friends or whatever. And he's good with that. And you need to at least get copies. And I would advise any pastor out there to get that book. You need it on your shelf, and you need your people that are teaching in the in ministry to get that book and read it and study it, and I guarantee you will set your mind free.
James, do you have a concordance?
I have a couple.
Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to look up a word called fear, okay?
Okay.
And look in and see what the early church, let me tell you something, the early church feared God. They had an awesome respect of who God was. They had an awesome respect for His Word and for walking in truth. So you just look up some of those scriptures and see if they won't give you some material to use if you need to, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add something real quick if I could. From Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, it tells us that sin is crouching at our door, is what God told Cain. But He said, you must master it. But it's not just for Cain. That's just how it tends to be down here for each and every one of us. We're living in a very sinful age. There's sin all around us, especially the television. My wife and I, thank God, we stopped watching television years ago. It's wonderful not to have that horrible thing that is often. The kinds of temptations that come through TV, you don't need that. If you're desiring to serve God and make the most of the time that God has given you, shut the TV off, get in the Bible, and start to do something for the Lord. At the judgment, folks, at the judgment, your time will be accounted for. Now just think of people that are wasting not only 10 hours a month, maybe 100 hours a month, or how many thousands in the course of several years in front of the television set. Folks, we're supposed to be spreading the Word of God, bringing forth good fruit. If you don't bring forth good fruit, you'll be cut down and thrown in the fire. And remember this, Jesus said, make every effort to enter the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Most people in our day aren't putting forth any effort. None. No effort at all. And you see, they're just going to be another casualty in the end. They'll wake up when it's too late in the fires of hell, trying to repent then, but it'll be too late. It'll be too late, like for the man in Luke 16. Oh, he would have loved to repent. Oh, he would have loved to have just one more chance. Oh, God, I'll do anything, I'm sure people will say at the judgment. They'll beg God. They'll be weeping. They'll be pleading with God. Give me one more chance. Please, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. It'll be too late. Now is the time, folks. Now is the time. You take up your cross now. You deny yourself now. You live for Jesus now. Don't be ashamed of Him now. Confess Him before others now. And don't disown Him before men, because if you do, Jesus said He'll disown you before the Father. This is a war that's raging. The Bible says, do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure.
It also says in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Dan, it is a pleasure, like I said. Did you want to give your address again? I mean, I just cannot tell you how pleased we are having you on with us again.
Well, our ministry address is Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, PA, and the zip is 15301. If you're on the internet, you can come to our website at www.evangelicaloutreach.org. Very important scripture Jesus gave in conjunction with the subject of hell is in Matthew 13:41-42. Jesus said, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. It will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice, Jesus said there's a fiery furnace beyond the grave. Not everybody's going to this paradise environment. Jesus did say to that thief that repented, He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. But He didn't say that for everybody. He said, others depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But from Matthew 13:41-42, Jesus said, it will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice, if you're annihilated, how could you be weeping? How could you be gnashing your teeth? How could you be doing that if you're wiped out of existence? You won't be. Folks, you'll be in pain and agony and torment and remorse forever. And you won't be able to change things. It'll be too late forever. Now is the time. And I want to say this. I believe that if we fully recognized and understood how important it is to live for God here and now, we would go crazy. I repeat, I believe that if we fully recognized how important salvation is, we would actually go crazy. We're talking about eternity in a paradise environment or incredible pain and torment, blackest darkness forever. The Bible tells us that we're going to have to be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. And the Bible teaches that sin can defile a person. Now, Kathy asked me before.
You know what, though? We got a couple more calls.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. I guess this is Ron. Ron, we got you on the line. If you can make it quick for Dan.
Yeah, I was just, it's actually not a question. Just like to interject something. As to what the Bible states as far as eternal security goes, if I may.
Make it quick.
Okay. In the book of Matthew 7, 13, and 14, it talks about the narrow gates and the broad gates, and it states that narrow is the gate that leads to heaven, and broad and wide is the gate that leads to hell. And I look at it like this. There's entire churches, the whole entire churches that will enter in through that gate, and there's a lot of people steeped in it. And I appreciate what you're doing in your ministry, especially Jerry and Kathy Thornburg, listening to you guys all the time. I appreciate everything that you guys are doing, and I think that the church needs to wake up and get back to what it's called to do, and that's lead its people in righteousness. And they're so far away, it drives me absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. Every time you turn on the radio station, you hear people preaching a laid back, easy cheesy message, and it's just it drives me crazy. And I just wanted to say I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Ron.
Hey, Ron, thank you. And by the way, I know a good church.
And Ron, keep Dan in your prayers too. He's on the front line. God bless you, Dan. We have one more call, and that'll be our last call, and then Dan will lead us into a salvation prayer. I think it's Tony.
How's it going, Jerry, Kathy?
Fine. Are you listening, Tony? Yeah.
Hey, you ain't going to believe what I was calling in to request.
What's that?
Prayer for salvation for Virgil.
All right. Is Virgil listening?
I don't know. I doubt it, but his daughter is.
Okay, while Dan leads in a prayer, we will stand in proxy for Virgil. We will believe that God will touch his heart. Thanks, Tony, and we'll let Dan lead us in prayer.
No, thanks.
God
okay,
bless
Tony,
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Dan, have the privilege of leading. I know there's people wanting to go to heaven. They just need to know how.
All right. Well, first of all, I'll describe that before quickly I'll give a prayer for Virgil. If a person wants to get saved, and may that be the desire of every single person that would hear this broadcast, what you must do is repent and put your faith in Jesus. That's according to Acts 20:21. You repent and put your faith in Jesus. You prove your repentance by your deeds. So the object of your faith is Jesus. And folks, then you do what he tells you to do. The Bible says you turn from your idols to serve the true and the living God. So you serve him. You get in the Bible and you start to labor in the vineyard. You follow him. You're not saved by works. But if you don't bring forth good fruit, you'll be cut down and thrown in the fire. So God expects things from you. He'll prune you so you'll be more fruitful if you are fruitful. So don't be deceived by these slick talkers on TV and radio making merchandise out of people. God wants us to bring forth fruit. Now, in regards to Virgil and other people that are not with salvation, I'd like to pray. But, of course, you get in the Bible, you see where other people prayed for people to come to salvation. Consider Samuel. He was one of the most powerful prayer warriors in the entire Bible. Samuel prayed for backslidden Saul, and Saul never came back to the Lord. So it goes to show you that man has free will in all this. It can negate powerful prayers, and even the will of God, because God doesn't want anyone to perish. But let's pray for Virgil. All of those out there that are believers, why don't you join in right now? Let's pray for him and other people that might be on your heart. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you on behalf of Virgil and all the others that are without salvation. We ask that you would convict them. Help them to see the worthlessness, the futility of this life without Jesus. Living for self is not the way, Father. Help them to recognize this and impart within them, in them this light, this knowledge, this understanding of what they're doing to themselves. They're actually dragging themselves to hell in their sins. Father, help them to see how important it is to repent. Bring them to repent. Send the right labor to them to share the truth that they could understand it. And, Father, we ask that they would receive it and follow you and live faithfully to the end. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, we did it again.
We came to the end of the broadcast.